From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. The Alaska Board of Fisheries dealt a double blow to Kodiak salmon fishermen. Fishing was limited in two of Kodiak's traditional fishing areas in hope of increasing fishing opportunities in Chignik and Cook Inlet. But fishermen in Chignik say the change to the Cape Igbac fishery is long overdue. We have a report from both perspectives of the Cape Igbac issue. And another Board of Fish story. The Alaska legislature gaveled into session this week. We'll look at one bill dealing with the Alaska Board of Fish and conflicts of interest. The Coast Guard says most of its VHF radio towers in Prince William Sound are working, while also issuing warnings about outages in Southeast Alaska. The Coast Guard reminds fishermen and others to carry extra communications gear for use in areas where they can't reach watchstanders by the VHF radio emergency frequency. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Kodiak salmon fleet is reeling from a number of Board of Fisheries decisions, which limits Kodiak's participation in the Cape Igbac salmon fishery. The Cape Igbac fishery lies on the Alaska Peninsula. Kodiak's fleet fishes there when Chignik sockeye salmon run is strong enough. The Chignik fishermen have long criticized the state's Igbac plan, saying it's detrimental to their fisheries. The decision by the Board of Fish caps off a contentious allocation fight between Kodiak and Chignik fishermen after several years of disastrously low sockeye returns in Chignik. KMXT's Kavitha George has this report.
After nearly 5 days of testimony and discussion, the Board of Fisheries' final decisions left Kodiak Saners without much of a shot at Chignik's sockeye fishery. It doubled Chignik's exclusive first-run allocation from 300,000 to 600,000 fish. On top of that, Kodiak's share of the harvest was halved from 15% to 7.5%. Kodiak Salmon Workgroup Chair Duncan Fields says that after days of Kodiak fishermen testifying in opposition, the room was in disbelief when the board chose to overturn the 40-year-old management plan.
We had over 150 people testify. The testimony was excellent. The community was engaged. I had a great disappointment that despite all of that effort and information, it seemed as though the board wasn't listening.
Board members argued that with years of low runs, Chignik's fleet needs to be prioritized. Kodiak might be hurting, but Chignik has it worse, said board member John Wood.
All the testimony coming together, what you really pointed out to me is you have a seafood problem. It isn't just salmon. Your entire economic base was built upon a multitude of different fisheries, and most of them have gone away or are so weak now as to really not be contributing what they once did. But nonetheless, Chignik is in an even worse position.
According to Wood, Chignik's sole source of revenue the last few years has been its 1% processing and landing taxes. Fields from the Kodiak Work Group argues that the new allocation measures won't do anything to solve Chignik's series of bad runs, which even board members agreed was not caused by Kodiak's fishing presence. Instead, he says, the measure will cut $2 to $3 million from Kodiak's yearly salmon revenue, which ranges between $20 and $40 million each season. He says Kodiak's villages and smaller boats will feel the brunt of that impact. Because Kodiak's large seiners won't be able to fish at Cape Igbac, they will have to fish in Kodiak, cutting into the shares of those smaller operations.
Despite testimony from half a dozen fishermen from Old Harbor and four or five fishermen from Yuzinki, it seemed as though those communities were less important to the board members than Chignik. Those communities are struggling. They don't get raw fish tax like Chignik does. They depend entirely on the fishermen in their town. And yet, Chignik and Chignik's problems seem to be prioritized over the six rural communities on Kodiak Island. That was a hard pill to swallow.
Emil Christensen, a lifelong fisherman from the village of Old Harbor, delivered emotional testimony to the board, arguing the same point before decisions were made.
Kodiak never complains but tries to fish and make a living because all the other fisheries are being taken away, and this is another piece of the pie that you guys want to take away from us. If you're going to do it, please think hard about it. And it's the future of my children.
Field says it's unlikely they'll be able to get the decision reversed at a future meeting, but he says it's possible they will make appeals for modifications to the plan next year based on the fleet's experience this summer. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Kavitha George.
Chignik fishermen, meanwhile, applauded the board's decision. Now they hope that much-needed economic relief will be forthcoming to the village that has had virtually no fish the past several years. KDLG's Izzy Ross has more.
I would say the thing that I am right now is optimistic.
Benjamin Allen is a city council member in Chignik Bay who has been fishing there for 2 decades. Allen says the Cape IGVAC plan, which was put in place in 1978, did have safeguards. For the past 2 years, the Kodiak fleet didn't fish in Cape IGVAC at all due to Chignik's low returns. But Allen says the recent changes ensure that Chignik will benefit when the sockeye do come back.
In Chignik, none of us blamed IGVAC for the problems that exist there. But now that there's such a low level of run, we need those fish to be returning. And so without them, we're never going to economically stabilize.
Chignik had a devastating year in 2018. Enough salmon escaped in 2019 to meet the state's goal, but the run was still below the 10-year average. Only about 350 sockeye returned in the early run, and the late run was even smaller. For many fishermen, the board's vote on IGVAC was a long time coming.
We've been fighting to get, you know, those allocations reduced. We're trying to get it, you know, where they would have fish off of our catch rather than off our predictions.
That's Hank Brandel, who has fished in Chignik since 1966. Hank's son, Corey, grew up in Chignik Lagoon and now lives in Kodiak. He also says the change is long overdue.
We don't have a first run no more. It's getting pretty bad. I mean, it's not sustainable no more.
Now, Brandel says the board needs to restrict fishing effort in Area M as well, which many critics see as an intercept fishery, where sockeye traveling through are harvested before they can reach fisheries closer to their spawning grounds. Meanwhile, Chignik's forecast is not promising this year. Fish and Game estimates that around 500,000 sockeye will return in the early run. Since the harvest is expected to be below 600,000 fish, the department doesn't anticipate opening Cape IGVAC to fishing in 2020. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska legislature gaveled into session this week, and one bill is resurfacing. House Bill 35 sets a priority in resolving the conflict of interest issue for the State Board of Fishery. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has more.
A priority is resolving the conflict of interest issue for the State Board of Fisheries.
You can see it at every Board of Fish meeting you go to. When you have a board member that has an expertise in a certain area and is conflicted out and can't even share his knowledge with the other board members, what is the point of having him on the board? This bill will allow them to participate in the conversation. It just will not allow them to vote on the issue.
Louise Stutz is head of the House Fisheries Committee. She says the board conflict issue has been at the forefront for 14 years, and this is the closest lawmakers have come to resolving it.
That report was provided by Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The Coast Guard says mariners in most of Prince William Sound should now be able to reach watchstanders by VHF radio if they have an emergency. Coast Guard Public Affairs spokesperson Allie Blackburn in Kodiak says most of the sound now has emergency radio coverage.
So the Coast Guard has restored VHF FM communications within a majority of Prince William Sound, with the exception of Western Prince William Sound, Wells Passage, Whittier, and Passage Canal. Those areas are still without coverage and are awaiting repairs.
In recent weeks, the Coast Guard in Juneau reported that large swaths of South Central and Southeast Alaska is without radio monitoring because of faulty equipment. Technicians are working with the newly hired contractor to triage the downed sites and to get repairs made as quickly as possible. And Blackburn emphasizes that the outages are with the Coast Guard system, so they only affect the Coast Guard's ability to hear or to respond to radio calls. VHF radios themselves work and can be heard by another person with a VHF who is within their line of sight.
So if you are calling out for help, that ability is still there. So don't feel like you're alone in that communication area.
The Coast Guard urges mariners and fishermen to listen more carefully to Channel 16 FM, which is the emergency and distress frequency, and to relay any possible distress calls that they might hear to watchstanders by any means, such as satellite communication or cell phone if it's available. VHF radio is the cheapest means for emergency calls by mariners in distress, but the Coast Guard is recommending other communication systems as backup, and they say do not hesitate to use your EPIRB to signal the Coast Guard if you are in danger.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Izzy Ross at KDLG in Dillingham, Joe Vicnicki at KFSK in Petersburg, Kavitha George here at KMXT, and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. For you fishermen, be careful fishing. Your family needs you to come home safely. And why not take a moment right now to think about what you would need for emergency communications if you couldn't reach the Coast Guard by VHF. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Waugh.